Oh, I find that out here, any.
Extremely poor.
Any materials you want, you have to make them yourselves, or.
But, you know, the stuff they do on units on Native people, for example, in the school system, is old-time stuff. It has nothing to do with the relevance of the Native people's lives today. And they don't even touch on the real deeper issues of what's important to the culture. Teachers have no training, and yet they're often working with them. They don't have an appreciation of some of the important differences in culture. It's very poor. let me see where I am here. Do you see the beadwork as something that's dying out, or is it maintaining itself, or do you see a revival in it? How do you see that kind of work compared to when you started?
No, I think it's maintaining itself, maybe not. It's certainly not dying out here, I know that. Because, like I said, there is young mothers will come at certain times that they want to things that you know that they're working at home. If you don't see it, you know they're at least doing some of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a number of families on the reserve that.
What do you see as the place of the kind of work that you do in maintaining a sense of self as a Native person? Of maintaining the culture. What role do you think this kind of work has?
Oh. Repeat that again, would you?
Okay,
what role?
When you think of the different parts of Native culture that you want to preserve and hold on to, that says, you know, I am Native and this is an important part of me, how does the craft work? What effect does it have on that?
It's something to me within you that as you're working with this, I mean, you're not just sitting there blankly working away. Something will come to you, whether you're thinking, my goodness, they were doing this years and years and years ago, and here I am sitting here today doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start thinking, and from there you pick up on other things, then you start questioning. I wonder how they did this, when they did it, who is doing it. And, oh, this is how I feel. And jokingly, a number of times you said, God, if my family depended on this on me for this, I'm afraid they'd either be without clothing or, you know, when you think of all the things our people had went through years ago that they had to dress their entire family. And then you think of you sitting here just doing these few things that you'd wonder how we survived for today. I mean, it's thought process of what's happened years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if more people, more of our people, would get into the craft work, it would just make them question more, want to know more about the culture. Maybe start out small, but. Well, that's the way I did. Just started these craft classes for something to do. And then start picking up, start reading, start speaking to people from other reserves, the traditional people, and it's just keep going, and I don't feel I'm finished yet. There's a lot more, just like she mentioned, the colors that I'd have to go to an elder. If I wanted to know more, I'd have to go to the people in Oklahoma, my people out there. So it starts small, but if you're interested, then you just keep going on from there. Yes. I moved here. I didn't know anything about my people. It was never taught in school. I didn't have contact with in the city. It was after I moved back here. I could have stopped with the beadwork and say that's it, but there was just like a hunger inside me to know more.
You have said that better than anyone else, I think, that we've talked to about how the craft work can really be a starting place to go on to more, to, as you say, the hunger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oops, let me in. Can you reach your Carol? She's just wide open to having people, you know, make contact with her and, you know, both for supplies and to come visit up there. Tell me a little bit about your other work, your teaching work, how you got into that and what your role is in the school.
I work as a classroom assistant in the kindergarten classroom. We have the K-4s and the K-5s, and I've been there. This is my... going into my 15th year. I teach the craft, the legends, along with regular duties of an assistant assisting the teacher. And I've been there long enough that I've seen the kids that begin kindergarten graduate the last year, and makes you feel good. But it was a struggle. My family was young. I had a baby when I had to begin these summer courses in Toronto. But if it wasn't for my daughters, my family, everybody pitching in and helping, that I'd have to leave for the summer for 5 weeks. And then they moved the courses down to London, which made it a bit easier. And then... when I finished those courses, we began university courses. But we were able to drive every day, but still that was a struggle too. But I'd say if it wasn't for my family and my father behind me, I don't think I'd have... there's a lot of times I want to say, that's it. And my father, he died about 12 years ago. But he was always there encouraging me, keep going. I'll watch the baby, you know, and he never babysat in his life for anybody. I almost died of shock when he offered to watch the baby while I was continuing my education. And so I said there's been just support from the family that kept me going.
So do you have a standard teaching certificate then? No,
it's a certificate, but I think it's only recognized in the federal schools.
Okay. Because I've heard a couple of Native people say that, you know, they'd had to go through all this training, and I guess what makes me crazy when I hear the amount of work that they've done, why they don't have a kind of teaching certificate that they would be able to go anywhere with.
No, this is only recognized in the federal schools.
Now, so that your role is part of the reason you got into it was that they wanted more Native people actually working with the children. Is that correct? Is that why you got into it?
I think that probably at some meeting somewhere they decided that they needed these classroom assistants in the classroom with a non-native teacher to change the attitude, to present the correct information. Mm-hmm. And this is why these courses came into effect. And now they have a few in the provincial schools. One, I imagine, to each provincial school is what they have in this area. But it's a step.
What kinds of changes have you seen in doing that? I mean, there you are, being able to start the children off right at the beginning with, you know, more of their culture. The stories, to me, for very young children, the stories are almost the most powerful teacher that you can give them. Have you seen a shift in them as they've grown up and in terms of awareness of, or has enough been done for you to see a shift?
There probably is. I don't, to find that answer, you'd probably have to go to our, what do they call them in the provincial, education worker in the provincial schools, that they could tell you if there's a difference in our native children when they come in than, say, 10 years ago or more.
Maybe you can tell us a story that you would tell the children, I imagine.
No, I haven't second. Nothing will come to mind right now. I know I'd be asked to go into provincial school a couple of times, and I've always taken this one legend about the birch tree, where he had the birch and the pine. The pine was the king of the forest, and the birch tree decided he wasn't going to listen to the pine. He was better than the pine. He didn't have to do what the pine tree said. He thought he was better. So the pine tree bent down and it whipped the birch tree and left the marks on him, on the bark. Oh, that's in essence, you were telling the children, you don't think you're better than other people, but it was more for the non-native people that I took the story there than, because this is something our children deal with. The non-native children in the classroom think they are better than our children. I thought, well, maybe it'll have an effect. But I have, the legends I use are by Jasper Hill. He's one of our elders here. Just moved here recently. He's been away. He must be about 85. And those are the legends I use in the classroom here. They're quite wordy, so I have to edit, and so the children that in the kindergarten can understand. But he's one fantastic person to speak to.
Now, he just moved here. Was he originally from?
His parents were originally from here, and they enfranchised, like, and then he was raised off the reserve, but somehow he still managed to retain the traditional ways, the beliefs, even though he was living in an urban area. But now he's back here at the Fairfield church down here near the river. He's curator there, and if you ever get a chance to go see him, that would be one fantastic person.
Do you have a phone number for Mary?
No, I don't. She's just around the corner from me.
Maybe we should go and see her.
Well, we could also call the band office and get some of these phone numbers as well, because it's going to take me a little while to take pictures here. Maybe, actually, could you call it? You might be able to call the band office while I'm taking a few pictures. Well, yeah. Here, so it's not a long distance.
Jasper Hill was the person that gave my children their native names.
Oh, yeah.
about the corn project that was done. It got tremendous coverage, full page. I'm curious about that.
The person to speak to would be Arna Timothy on that. If I gave you information, it would only be hearsay, and I wouldn't be sure it was correct. And you could reach her at the band office, too.
Okay. And did you get that last name? Arna Timothy?
Arnett Timothy.
Arnett.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I take it it's not being done this year, then?
Oh, no, they're still working.
They're still working. Mm-hmm. Oh, good, mm-hmm. good, because I was just really intrigued by that mm-hmm. when I saw the coverage in the paper. I thought that it would be really fine one to look at, because it's so unique.
Mm-hmm.
No other band has done quite the same thing.
No, it's
closest
still...
to it would be the, you know, the Wild Rice up north. They staked out it was a battle between non-natives and natives over who had the rights to the wild rice.
Wild rice. I think I read something about that.
The native people eventually gained considerable. I think some of it did go to non-natives,
mm-hmm.
but most of it did go to native people. Okay. Is there anything else that you think is important? When you said her other work, are you talking about her other work other than beadwork or her other work in the schools?
Oh, in the schools.
Yeah, that was really important. Well, I think she's answered that in her questions when she was talking in terms of what she wanted them to be able to have is that sense of themselves and a really clear statement about what the craft work has done for her in terms of thinking and asking questions and how that would help others. Yeah, I think we've covered that one.
No, I think it's not that's it.
Mm-hmm.